Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
I thought you'd sort of get excited, sort of heave and pant and come running at me, your melons bobbling.
My melons do not bobble, sir. Listen, we're back investigating the depths of the erotic mind of Bo, the artist, the legend, and the icon. This series of conversations with noted erotic artists like Mo is helping us understand something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Be sure to check out Bo's beautiful and seminal work at eroticartcollection.com/Bo or on his publisher site, brunogumunder.com. And then all you have to do is search for Bo.
You can sit around with a gin running out of your mouth. You can humiliate me. You can tear me to pieces all night. That's perfectly okay. That's all right.
I don't think that's gin. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it is. Today's podcast is appropriately brought to you by one of my all-time favorite sponsors, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there on the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes-siree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty sex toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer, that's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Bo, and thank you again for joining us again this week. Can we pick up right where we left off last week? I want to talk about erotic art. And, I mean, after all, this is what we're here for. And the thing that I want to talk about is defining what is erotic and what is art. And I suspect, as particularly since we've been talking about this a lot with the other people that I've been chatting with, that the notion of what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. And, for example, a depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic, but rather a common symbol of potency and fertility. Is this your perception as well? And if so, could you elaborate on that?
Well, I certainly hope I pick a path that some of the other people haven't discussed, because the topic is so broad and interesting. Let me just, I went to school, and I maybe I'm a bit pedantic, but let's just go back to the words themselves. Erotic, obviously from the Greek eros, sexual love, as opposed to pornographic, which is writings of harlots. So right off the beginning, and if I got them wrong, please tell me.
No, you're right on. Absolutely.
There's a pejorative commentary, even though the Greeks didn't look down on their hookers as much as we do. There's a pejorativeness right off the bat. Is the word entomological, or does that mean butterflies?
No, that's good.
Okay. Level. I think that eros and sexual love are great. I also think porn's great. On a very vulgar meaning of it, it's whatever gets you off or helps get you off.
Right.
But as far as art history and history in general and the history of sexuality, I mean, pick up a book by Foucault or anybody. We learn so much about the past, or go through any museum and try and cover up all those nudie girls and see how far you get. I think it's part of human nature. I think, of course, it's considered patriarchal because we're men and seemingly have the higher hand in it. But I've talked to many women who've said, "Oh, I love Bo."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, it's so erotic. He's so naughty and good. And I think, you do? And they go, oh, yeah, we love that better than that. Some of that.
Besides its idealized masculinity, and certainly much better than what a lot of women have to put up with their real men.
I guess I never really think about all how I affect people because, honestly, Doctor, I don't get fan letters. I don't get feedback. And all the artists that I know who are erotic artists would say the same things. Either our publishers burn them, or no one ever writes them because we don't get anything back from that. But that aside, eroticism and the erotic, I would say, is more tied up, hopefully, to the something with love in it. And I use that term broadly. Pornography, hey, great. You know, let's shock the world. Let's show, you know, fisting or anything you want to make someone eyes open up or just that that's what you're into. I don't want to be that judgmental on it. It's not what I chose to do, you know. But let's say, for example, in this, I will talk about this, in my new anthology through Bruno Gmunder, it's called Uncensored. They want it to be much more raw than the last one. And I wanted a certain picture in there that they didn't put in, which was extremely raw and bordering, for Beau, bordering on pornographic. They didn't put it in there. However, a lot of other artists, their work in there is like, even I, my mouth drops open like, "Ooh, Lord, hello. My gosh. Wow." So ultimately, it comes down to whatever, you know, you do with it and whatever the and I think more to the point, no, as well as what the viewer does with it, because I am trying to provide the viewer with an erotic experience. If they don't care for my work and do not find an erotic experience, great, go find somebody else. Right. You know, I don't pander to, isn't that funny that I use the word pander? You know what I'm saying, though. I don't run after fans or anything. And I don't mean to sound snotty. It's just that's not why I did it or do
it. Right. As an artist, I suspect that you create other art besides the stuff that might commonly be thought of as erotic. I am right in that, right?
Yes. If you were to put together a book of my, 30 years, let's say, painting, costume design, erotica. I've also done architectural design work on buildings.
Photography now.
You would get to see many facets of an actual artist, though, who has a style. And I've looked at this, and I've spoke to people about this. I have spoken to people about this. When you look at my landscapes, let's say, which are under my other name, Kevin, then they're so sensuous, you know, they almost look erotic. They don't mean to be. I had no interest in making erotic landscapes. It's just that seems to be the way my eye sees things, and you say idealizes, and I do. I idealize a lot of men, obviously. And the where that comes from, I think, is a lot of schooling. And also, we've discussed, I was a devout Catholic, and the Catholic Church has a history of beauty, a history of otherworldliness, and a history of transcendental nature that can be, like through St. Teresa of Avila, crossed over into the erotic.
Exactly.
So, yes.
And there's such a fine line.
There's an answer. There's a yes to that whole long.
there's a fine line. I've always contended this, that there's a fine line between sensuality and spirituality, the divine and the everyday. So, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, we joke and we say, "Oh my, I saw God that night." You know, when you have an orgasm, and we call orgasms in the West little deaths.
Right.
So that's all tied up, and I've had both. I've had both faith as well as orgasms, and they're both extremely satisfying. if you work them out so that right. they work for you as opposed to against you.
Right. Would you say that you are compelled to create erotic art?
Not anymore.
Well, not just that your paintings, but I mean you're photographing now, and you know, as you say, your landscapes are sensuous. So this erotic nature of you must be coming out of your pores.
Well, yes, and I think that I happen to be. I would say I know a lot. Believe me, I've lived in the gay world long enough, and I've been gay since I came out of the womb. I've been, you know, from being pissed on and beaten up to a little smoochy smooch. So I've seen a lot of different aspects of sexuality in my time. But from my personal favorite taste is I like the person to like me and maybe have there's a little spark there. So I would say I'm more of a sensualist than a marauding sexualist. Just,
right.
you know, get every guy that I get my hands on.
Right.
And believe me, I try. But sorry.
You go. You
I'm
go.
Sorry.
See, there you are, that plucky guy again.
Sensuality. Well, we're all sensual. Come on. Unless the problem with our country, and we all know this, is its Puritan background that has overwhelmed many other cultures that might be more sensual, such as
right.
the Italian culture,
right.
which very sensual.
Yes.
Kisses and hugs and pinching, and whether you like being pinched or not. Delicious food, good wine, la dolce vita. And yet the Americans poo-poo that. Kissing in public when I was a child was considered horrifying
mm-hmm.
to do that. And that strictness, that stricture pervades the American culture, and it's really hard to overcome. We saw that way back in the 80s with Mapplethorpe, what kind of a stir he caused.
Yes. Maybe that's what gives rise, I mean, to the erotic work that our culture produces, both the really good stuff and the dross.
I think it is. That there's always, in modern art, from the time of the mid-19th century, the idea of transgression is very close to the idea of being a modernist, that the post-impressionists or the impressionists went against the academy in the 19th century, and we in the 20th century, or what is now the 21st century, transgress and do things that are considered naughty, perverted, sick, anything that is breaking the taboos.
Right.
Is considered pretty good art, and it does pack a punch. I mean, even I have been, surprisingly enough, shocked at a number of things.
Yes.
So that's good.
So some of the
Some
of the erotic artists that I've been chatting with create their art with words, but you've chosen a different path. Let's talk about the media that you have chosen. First, as Bo before the accident and Bo post-accident. Tell us about your chosen media.
No, I always on for Bo painted oil on paper so that it had a matte finish so that it could be photographed well for reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a shiny painting,
mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to get a good photograph of it because of that sheen.
Right, exactly.
So I don't use oil with the oils. People say to me, oh, you're using pastels. I said, no, I don't use pastels. This is my... No one does what I do that I've seen because I happen to paint on paper and because it soaks up the turpentine
mm-hmm.
and gives it that matte finish. And then if you look at my work, you could see a through line that there's a linear quality. And then as the pigment is applied, there's a roundness, hopefully, especially with flesh tones. And then there's usually an extreme highlight, that white
right.
slice on it that gives it that slap, that panache, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So today, erotic artists abound. Although in some circles, this genre is still not accepted as mainstream. Have you been on the receiving end of criticism because of, you know, the nature of your work? I mean, have other artists or other people in the popular culture denigrated your work because of its erotic nature?
Well, let's also say gay erotic, because once you're gay, you're in the erotic niche, period. I mean, the gay niche, period. There's no getting out of it. If you were the best artist in the world, let's say Andy Warhol, who he was, by the way, and gay, he was never known as a gay artist. He was known as an artist. For if he were known as a gay artist, let's say, like Paul Cadmus, his career would not have been given that heft quality that they give to when they give the crown out back east in high art. So right off the bat, there's that problem. And yes, I even know, of course, that people will take my work badly. I can never run for president, obviously.
Bad luck for you.
I know. We already got a good one, so
yeah.
Why put an eroticist in there? Although Lord knows what he looks at night, and even Lord knows what Benedict in Rome looks at night.
Exactly. Let's not go there.
Don't go there. So, or the Queen. I don't know what she's, you know, labial into. But, yeah, people when... Everyone loves it. You know what I mean? Everyone has sex. Everyone looks at smut now and then, or erotica. But when it comes up in conversation, I have always found that it is not considered polite conversation outside of a small group of people who are, in fact, aficionados. If you're bringing up a dinner table, there's a bit of silence there because... no one wants to say that what they perhaps like, or and to be again vulgar, jerk off to.
Right.
You know, there's all that kind of thing, and we have these terms. You know, oh, she's such a whore, or he's such a cheap slut. Same thing.
Yes.
Same denigration.
Yes.
You know, one way to put them down.
That's right. Is it possible for you, as an artist, to eroticize something that you personally don't find sexy?
I don't do anything that I don't feel and believe in, so no, I can't do anything. I mean, I've painted bad pictures that I didn't totally believe in, but my intent was always pure to give it good. Don't laugh. That's exactly what I mean.
You're such a Catholic boy still. Oh, my God.
No, but come on. Intent is how you believe in the path you're going down. You intend to create a great picture.
No, I understand.
If during the way you say, this is not working, I can't, you know, I just can't paint. There's an artist called Botero who paints fat women, if you've ever seen
him. I know, yes, absolutely.
And I find that to be a little stupid. But if he, you know, if someone said to me, why don't you paint like Botero? I would go, I have no interest in painting balloons with little hands on them. I really don't. And yet they sell for $1 trillion.
Yeah,
so what are you going to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you believe erotica, at least in your instance, is directly related to your sexuality, or can it be created apart from our sexuality?
In looking at myself compared to my friends and other people, I'm not as sexual as other people. I'm not a sex addict, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just explaining myself. And I've never really integrated as well as a lot of men have. I myself, not Bo, but the person, Kevin, hasn't done that well in the Romeo department. And you might say that my lack of success there is sublimated into my art, which of course is pop cultural psychology, but I would have to say, if I really looked hard at it, Doctor, that would be the case.
It could be the other way around, too. Maybe all of that energy goes out into your artwork, and there's less available, you know, for the real schmo who, you know, lives down the hall.
Well, this is an interesting conversation, because I will be very open. Men always find their hands down their pants at some point or another. You know, we're always jiggling change down there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I'm painting, oftentimes I find myself with my hand in my crotch. So the energy of my loins, or whatever you want to call them, groin, is transmuted into the painting. So, and I believe that. If I'm not turned on by it, you're not going to be turned on by it either.
Good point.
And I'm not saying I jerk off over my paintings. I'm just saying the heat that it arouses in me is what gives the painting its pop, I think it's punch.
Yeah, and that's something that's quite universal in all of the people that I've chatted with
so far in
this series, and they believe that it's good, it's working if it turns them on. They know it may not necessarily turn another soul on in the entire world, but it works because it turns them on. And
this is
why
it's so good to have your show, Doctor, also that you can discuss something that I didn't know. I didn't know whether people felt the same way as I. Where do you discuss this?
Yes.
You know, and I've had many interviews in magazines and all sorts of press, but I just learned something. And this discussion, eroticism, the erotic in the 21st century and perhaps the West, is vital. We all have to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So there are obvious triggers, erotic triggers, such as fetish wear, corsets, jock straps, leather gear, breast nipples, penis, vaginas, certain languid poses. But do you think one can sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature or food or everyday clothing?
We went back to that Botero again, right, about balloons with hands. I think you can, but it would take the person, the viewer, to find the artist that does that and get off on it.
Right.
I once knew a man who was a masseur, and he would have clients, and they'd always ask him to do more than a masseur. You know how gay men are. They want everything. And he wanted him to step on fruit for him.
Ah, interesting.
As part of the thing. And I'm like, no offense to Angel, but why in the hell does he want you to step on fruit for him? And he goes, I don't know, and I don't even like it. But sometimes I do it. So it's a lot up to the artist and the person. I just personally do not paint people stepping on fruit.
What do you look for in the work of other erotic artists?
Okay. Again, personally, and this is a little embarrassing, but I'll be honest with you. I have a very heavy aspect of the voyeur in my own personal sexual mm-hmm. makeup. I think it comes from being a gay boy in a world of taboo. Everywhere you go, you are not allowed to look. You are not allowed to have a hard on. You are not allowed to feel. You are not allowed to express yourself. You are in a concentration camp. So peeking. And I'm not peeping Tom. I don't mean to say that. I'm just saying that seeing things that you're perhaps not allowed to because the taboo is lifted for you personally is something that I consider extremely erotic. And oddly enough, and I've asked people this. I just asked a boy this the other day. I'm not really turned on by paintings that much. Mm-hmm. I'm turned on by photographs mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the actuality of the ostensible quality that's real. Now, of course, with Photoshop, nothing's real anymore, my lord. It's disgusting what we can do with penises. That to me gets me going. But it also, Doctor, has something to do with being an artist, that we're looking at the world, I think, that we're peering at the world, that we're turned on by the world, and then expressing it.
Interesting.
I have favorite artists who are also friends of mine, photographers usually, who do beautiful black and white nudes. I have a friend, David Vance, does wonderful works, just put out Timeless. Jeff Palmer, who's one of the most brilliant artists I know and a great photographer. Pardon me for stalling here as I'm trying to go through a list of Tom Bianchi, who I've always loved, although that's an interesting person to have on a show, is Tom. Tom's fascinating. I get off on them.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any sexual heroes?
I don't know what you mean.
Mm.
I don't know what that means.
People in your life that are heroic, that in terms of sexuality, people who have made
okay.
such a difference that have paved the way for you.
Well, here again is personal. I don't want to overstep bounds with my families and things, but let's just say I had a sibling who was so bound up by the strictures of the scriptures. Ha ha.
You're a poet and you don't know it.
I hope I know something. And had to really release themselves from that, to find their sex, to open up and use different aspects to do that. Yes, that would be heroic to me. I'm not going to name names or anything. Okay. Boys that I have seen in my life grow from really beaten up carcasses into glowing, wonderful sexual men through when WAG came out in the 70s, and we had all that freedom. You know, you look at Milk.
Right.
I can't even watch that movie. It's too sad for me. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was unbelievable heady to be a young man in those days. And not just the sex, everything, the freedom, the political. So let's just even say Mr. Milk.
Yes,
I didn't know him that well, obviously. I was very young. I was, I think, 17 or 18. And more interested in maybe my hair at the time, being a shallow artist. But now I do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I know you must be hit up all the time for this very thing, but do you have any advice for aspiring erotic artists?
Oops, that reminds me. I have to answer an email from an erotic artist who wanted some info. I teach a lot of people how to draw because I was taught the old school, you know, like one of the old boys, I forget which one, I think it was Picasso, said you can't break the rules until you know them. And I'm not Picasso, I ain't saying that, but you really got to know how to draw a body if you want to come close to drawing a body.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to take an anatomy class. It helps to find out what triggers your own sexuality and run with that. Mm-hmm.
And be honest to it?
Well, you have to be honest to it, or else you might just be a mediocre expression. Let's say you might be a mediocre artist. Let's say your expression is, in the big picture, mediocrity, which I don't care much for. But art is many things besides grandeur.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or books, or having this many books at the this or that, or even a few fan letters. But just doing what you like, and don't ask it's good to get feedback, but don't ask for any judgment on who you are and what you are. And I think when you open up more, as we all have to do as people and as artists when it comes to sex, because we're in this, again, terribly puritanical society, you'll blossom.
Right. So honesty and authenticity.
And if you want to be really good, a shitload of hard work.
Excellent.
And
I mean that
with all honesty, day in, day out.
That's, again, something that, you know, is universal in the comments made by all the people in this series so far, is that it's work. It's hard work, and it's a life dedicated to this hard work that makes it the least bit possible.
And if you are, like I have found myself one little niche where people do like my work and lucky enough that they love Bo, get something, some satisfaction out of it. Of course, there are many artists who get no satisfaction in life. You know, that old Van Gogh thing, not till you're dead kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But in my other work, I've been fully ignored. There's a whole reality to art and the art world and things that you just can't, you either, I don't understand how it works, doctor, is all I'm going to say. But I'm glad Bo, you know, hit some nerves and made some people happy, and that it gives me pleasure that other people get pleasure. And at the same time, if they also like my couture or my costumes, ooh la la, you know, how nice is that?
Right.
Yeah, but it's hard work. I'm telling you, a lot of tears, a lot of days of just, you know, dragging your ass to, I'm sorry, I keep swearing, but dragging your butt to that easel and looking at an empty piece of paper and saying, gosh, I only have 2 days to do this, so I gotta go to work on Monday. And coming up with it, it is really difficult. And I know I'm going on too long with this, but that's why I think the propensity that's built into us is what gives us the drive to do and finish and complete and create and put it out there. So many people don't follow through, doctor, and that's fine. that is totally fine if that's your life, but you kind of have to follow through if you want to play this other game.
Exactly. And on that note, speaking of following through, we must conclude for today.
Again, I had a lovely time.
Thank you so much for your precious time, and I really appreciate it. I know it's a struggle for you to sit so long and be so present, but I appreciate it.
A pleasure.
And so, we will be seeing you in cyberspace and enjoying your images and buying your books.
My publishers would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Take care, my friend.
Goodbye.
See you soon.
It's been a joy. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Oh, boy. You really are having a field day, aren't you?
I guess I am. I'm having a really good time. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Doc Room. Listen up, sex fans. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stock room, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my brand spanking new sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. You'll find it's full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the My Stockroom tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Before we conclude, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave? Or perhaps you just need to talk dirty for a minute or two? Hey, why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me, and calling the hotline will surely get you a place in one of my podcasts. Be sure to look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and when you do, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.